A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes. But one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Roma Press Podcast. I know you are doing well, or if you're not doing well or great, you're at least still recovering from the cardiac arrest that you no doubt went into in the latter stages of Roma's 2-2 draw yesterday evening against Milan. So before we get into everything, as always, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over at Patreon. If you would like to become a patron, get early access to the podcast, extra episodes, including my immediate reaction following a match. You can go to patreon.com/RomaPress. And also a thank you to our newest patron, Adi. We greatly appreciate all of your guys' support. It means so, so much. It was an interesting experience in the chat yesterday, Andy. So I don't even know where to start. Let me begin with this, because I know I'm probably in the minority of this mindset, at least. So yesterday, when it was 2-0, so basically up until the 80th, 85th minute, I did not think that Roma were playing well. However, I did not think that there was a gulf between Roma and Milan. I did not think that Milan were playing better than Roma, even though they had a 2-0 lead. That match, okay, if you just saw the score line, okay, 2-2, you're saying to yourself, wow, four goals scored in a match. Entertainment had to have been at an all-time high. The neutral would have enjoyed that one. It was entertaining. I'm sure the weather in Milano was fantastic. The pitch had to have been peak condition. That had to have been just a thoroughly entertaining match of football. However, those of us who were treated to the match that watched, far from it, okay, it was ugly, which I don't necessarily think should be unexpected when you have absolute crap weather like it was yesterday. 5-6 degrees out, damp pitch, lightly raining throughout the entire thing. It just looked like one of those crap evenings where you would not want anybody to be playing football. Now, having said that aside, at no point, even when Milan, they score in the first half and then they get that goal from Leao to Paul Biggar to make it 2-0, even then, and even when it looked like a certainty that Roma would lose, I have to tell you, and I understand I am probably in the minority of thinking this way, but I still didn't think to myself, and of course it's easy to say this when Roma come back and they draw level 2-2. It's so much easier to have this take than as opposed to them having conceded another and they end up losing 3-0. But in all honesty, even when they were losing, down by two, and we have patrons in the chat, I mean, it looked like it was the end of the world. Jose Mourinho, get him out. Whose fault is this?
I think some patrons even considered self-immolation. I do believe that some were ready to go out there in the street and pour gasoline all over themselves. Up until the 85th minute, I think that was the case for the majority of patrons and of Roma fans. And as you said, there are aspects of this game, obviously, that, you know, stick out and not in a pleasant way. It wasn't a feel good game, probably for the majority of it. It just wasn't it. It doesn't, you know, it's not the definition of a game that you turn on and you get to enjoy with chips and maybe a glass of beer or something. But there were moments where Roma were incredibly sloppy. I think in the first half, there were times where it just gave two easy looks for Milan. Then I think the second goal was also sloppy defending, just the team really badly outstretched. Nobody really knows what the hell they're doing. And Milan just score a beautiful team goal, and everything seems to be working in their favor. But thankfully, Roma, once again, there always seems to come that point in these big matches, at least so far this season, despite all the ups and downs, where there seems that there is always a moment where the team realizes, oh, no, wait, I think we're better than this, you know? And you are the best team in Serie A when it comes to set pieces. Use them, right? And so finally, in those final minutes of the game, Pioli messes the substitutions up. That allows Roma to get a little bit further up the pitch. Milan start to sit back. They start to foul unnecessarily. And Roma are in a position where they can finally capitalize on what they're good at, right? And they are able to convert set pieces, something that this team has thrived on this season. I mean, this has been really the staple of Roma's goal scoring, which has been underwhelming to say the least. I don't even want to look at the number of goals we have in these games. I mean, it has to be ridiculously low, probably among the lowest in Serie A, and yet once again, it's not even those set pieces. It seems like there was a switch. Not even that goal by Ibanez. It just, the team came alive in those final minutes. Once Milan felt comfortable, made the mistake of feeling comfortable, Roma, all of a sudden, it seemed like all the players looked at each other and said, hey, whoa, 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 what are we doing here? What's going on? We're down 2-0? Away from home, we have a better record away from home than at the Stadio Olimpico, and we are losing 2-0 against Milan, who haven't been particularly good over the last few months, and didn't seem really any special against Salernitana. They almost ended up doing the same mistakes they did here, and it almost cost them the way it cost them last night. So what the hell were you doing here? I think that's really what happened within the minds of Roma players. I think that's what I got, at least from post-match interviews, is that this team all of a sudden came alive, understood the assignment, understood that, oh, we got the opportunity to convert these set pieces. We're good at them. We're good at corner kicks. We're good at free kicks. Let's make this happen. And you have to wonder when Roma will be able to not rely so heavily on this switch, because I think it's, don't get me wrong, I think honestly it's very impressive what they've been able to do in these big games so far this season, despite the shortage in personnel. It seems like in every big game Roma still maintain their footing. I can't recall a situation where I felt like the team was getting embarrassed, like we did last season. Remember when Inter just steamrolled us, when Juve made that comeback, and Napoli, and you know, it just this season it feels like the team, at least when it comes to these big games, they're present. They make mistakes. They are sloppy. Sometimes they read the situations wrong, but they have been able to come to a point that where so all of a sudden there is this realization that creeps up on them, and suddenly something, some magic comes out, and Pellegrini converts beautifully, has two assists to his name, Tammy Abraham finally scores, finally proves decisive in the latter stages of a game. Roger Ibanez, boom, goes up, looks like Cristiano Ronaldo in his prime. So there is something there. It's what we've been saying all along, is that this team is far from perfect. This team has a million problems. This team is not playing up to its potential, probably. But there are instances where I also think they are exceeding some of the expectations, which I think were overblown following the Conference League. And last night is proof that this team has some really great strengths that allow them to overturn these results. Because in what other Roma, what other Roma afforded us, gave us this outlook on a game where we're down 2-0 and we still have that thing, oh, they can turn it around. And they do. They do. I can't really recall a Roma that systematically, whenever you were like, okay, this is over, or they're on a bad day, they turn it around. They did it last season. I think, remember when we caught up with Napoli in the second half of the season, we had that game where Napoli were leading. I thought it was undeserved, and Roma finally rallied around and did something great and turned the whole thing around. And last night it was pretty much the same with Juve. It was very similar, where the team is not at its best. And hey, that happens. At least in Serie A, that happens very, very often. I mean, tell me the last game you sat down and you enjoyed from the first till the last minute. I bet you can't. I bet you can't find me a game where you're just, wow, this is bonkers. This is pure enjoyment. Both teams are flowing magnificently. No, it just doesn't happen at this point. I think every team in Serie A is tired. Every team in Serie A is nervous more than anything else.
Look at how many results yesterday in Serie A were flipped at the death. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
We had who was it? I think there were three or four. Lazio.
Lazio, Inter, and Inter, Milan. Yep. Yeah. So
I think that goes to something that obviously teams are still trying to find their feet after the break. That was going to be expected. That isn't a surprise in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. I do have to say, though, and I guess I'm curious to hear what you think of this, or even if it is that much of a problem. So the attacking issues, it's no secret now. Who is to blame for that? I don't know. One of the back and forths that I got into with some of the patrons during the match was, because there were some people saying, okay, well, you know, Jose Mourinho, what are these guys working on in training? Clearly, you know, they're inept in attack and so on and so forth. And that first half was some of the most unwatchable football from an attacking sense from Roma. There's no doubting that. You can't debate that. But again, on the other side, I didn't think that Milan were head and shoulders above Roma in any way, shape, or form. I did not think at all that they deserved the league going into halftime. I mean, that goal that they scored, obviously set pieces, we will address those. I mean, Ibanez, I don't even know what he was doing on the first goal that they conceded. And then secondly, Our man Mads, one of our favorite patrons, who began the Rui Patricio is
slander campaign, yeah.
Slander campaign. And I thought to myself, wow, this seems premature, but it seems to at least partially becoming the train is arriving at the stop, or at least it will be arriving at the station shortly. I don't know if he should be blame too much for that one, but he just makes it so much more worse on himself when he gets hands to it and it still ends up in the back of the net. A bit of the Bob and Rolson syndrome, as I like to call it. I've never seen a goalkeeper beyond Ruben.
So you're made of the same stuff as Mads, man. You get on Mads, but at the end of the day, you're more or less the same person.
No. Listen,
and you get kicks out of it. You're calling Rui Patricio Robin Olsen 2.0.
No, the syndrome. Listen, I think if we were to write down a list of 10 things that is wrong with this Roma, I don't think Rui Patricio even comes in the top 10, in my opinion, at least. I think there's far bigger issues that need to be addressed. The first of which, by the way, speaking of that first half, I would have been hard-pressed to find an action where they were able to string more than three passes together. That was, again, without question, some of the most painful football, at least of this season, in that first half. The midfield was just not functioning very well, in my opinion. But as far as the bad goes from that first half, more so focused on the goal that they conceded. I mean, Ibanez, for the ones, you know, criticizing Jose Mourinho, you know, Jose Mourinho can't fix that. No manager can fix a player who makes such an error like that. You know, I said during the match that, and this was before Roma were down 2-0, it was when they were down only 1-0. Roma have a habit of attracting players who just get a case far too often of the stupids, where they just go dumb in the most inopportune moments. And no manager, Andy, can fix that. That cannot be fixed. No amount of training on the pitch, okay, can fix guys just having brain lapses. We can find so many examples of these types of players that have come through Roma over the seasons. There's no point in even trying to debate, in my opinion. And some players, they just turn off.
That doesn't mean that Ibanez hasn't been good. I think the defense has probably been the most solid aspect.
The saving grace at times, in my opinion.
These moments happen, you know, like it's like Chris Smalling against Napoli. You know, what can you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always point to that. I point to Smalling against Atalanta during the first season of Fonseca when he gets completely torn open. I mean, I just like to point to, you know, when we blame Jose Mourinho for some reason, because again, after that corner was conceded the goal, I saw some people blaming Jose Mourinho. I mean, you know, Pep couldn't fix Otamendi, and that guy is like the poster child of the case of the stupids. Pep couldn't even fix him. So there are just, when you have players who...
He's a World Cup winner now. So.
Paredes too, yeah. Okay. Anyway, in all seriousness, though, you know, there is only so much a manager can do. In my opinion, I don't know how anybody could blame a manager for, you know, mistakes like that. You know, Alessandro Florenzi pulling back a guy in the penalty area by the shirt, the most obvious grab of the shirt of all time. I mean, what manager can fix that? It cannot happen.
Of course.
So my point, though, in my post-match reaction was, okay, so whatever faults you may have or whatever complaints you may have towards Jose Mourinho in Roma's lack of attacking prowess, lack of attacking actions, tactics, whatever they may be, you have to, on the other side of the argument, pay him his full and deserved dues for what he has done to this team, Andy. From a set piece standpoint, it is incredible. 2 or 3 years ago, I remember sitting with you on this podcast, just weeping in the corner, in the fetal position, because we saw Pellegrini, I believe it was, in a match, kick a corner kick. I believe it happened twice. He kicked the ball out of bounds. He did not even make the ball into play off of a corner kick. We have gone from that to now, it's almost a surprise when Roma go an entire match without scoring from a set piece. It is incredible to me. So whatever faults they lack in finding goals from open play, I would stake the argument, or I would be willing to die on the hill that you can't criticize Jose Mourinho for the lack of attacking actions without giving him the proper and necessary praise for what he has been able to do to transform this team to one of the most effective teams in all of Europe from set pieces. I mean, it's incredible to me.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The thing that, you know, that we can talk about when we talk about Jose Mourinho and the tactics, and is sometimes the team doesn't flow as well as it could and should, right? And I mean, I think the curse of the Italian media continues, because the moment you label something as the Fabulous Four, you know you're gonna get the crap four. there's nothing fabulous right, about it. Right. The moment these journalists, who probably have never uttered a word of English, and especially have never uttered the word fabulous, and they go on and use the term right. Fabulous Four to describe Paolo Dybala, Nicolò Zaniolo, Lorenzo Pellegrini, and Tammy Abraham, that's the moment when you set it up for failure. That's the moment that you killed it. You killed all the excitement, because there is nothing fabulous about it. And that's true. It seems like whenever we're about to build something special going forward, the team just sort of freezes up and has way too many doubts and starts to consider, you know, passing the ball backwards and passing the ball sideways, and they get nervous. They get, you know, it gets to them. This inability to read the opponent, the inability to move forward as they wish to, is getting to them. And you can see that. And for me, that's something that if there is something up to the manager, that's the thing, because there is talent up front. It's there. It's just these guys have no ability to read each other, and sometimes it's individual decision making as well. I mean, Nicolò Zaniolo is guilty of that, and Tammy Abraham very often is also guilty of that, and Pellegrini as well. I thought yesterday Pellegrini was the only one who was trying to maintain some kind of footing in the midfield in the first half. Cristante was all over the place, and if you look at some of Milan's chances in the first half, him, I think Salik, they seem to be jogging for some reason. So definitely it's as always, there's balance. There has to be some kind of balance in judgment. There are faults that can be attributed to Mourinho, but I think that in large part, it also comes down to personnel. It also comes down to the type of match you're talking about, to how the opponent sets itself up, how to just the storyline. You can't, when you talk about these games, you can't just look at episodes, or it's a whole story. It's a story is not straightforward. The story is a back and forth, filled with questions and excitement and suspense and moments of boredom. And that's really what it comes down to. When Roma play, you have everything. I mean, take yesterday, for example, and it's just, you watch that game, you've seen it all, right? I mean, it's there. You see how the team is sloppy. You see how the team finds a way to get back into it. You see a team that is good at something, that is probably better than most of its opponents. And that's really what it comes down to. There has to be, once again, that balance that we always like to talk about. And that's not to say that, you know, Mourinho is without faults. That's not to say that some of the players are without faults. But the team, we are not going to get a brand new team overnight. We're not going to get a brand new team for the rest of the season. But as always, like last season, the team has to function nonetheless. It doesn't matter what happens. The team has to find a way to get these results. If you can get a win out of a game against Bologna where you score on a penalty kick, you take that. You keep it to yourself. You love it. If you can get at least 1 point out of San Siro in order to be unbeaten on San Siro this season, something that hasn't happened in years and years, you take it. You take it and you go home and you cherish it. Because these are the things that in the end will help you to get to where you're going. Roma are in no position to consider themselves, you know, better, to consider themselves a top team. This is a team that is plagued by a million problems. But there are instances where you can tell, okay, they are very good at this. And the sooner they realize that they don't need to turn the switch, that it's in them, that it just, they can start, they can start a game on a roll. I mean, remember when was the last time that we actually started off the game just and completely took over, took control from the beginning to end, never gave the opponent a chance? I mean, I think that like the last time was probably for real in Serie A, it was probably the Derby, which we won 3-0. That team started right off the bat with complete control, complete domination, because they knew they were good at certain things. And I think that awareness has to come earlier on if Roma want to have better chances of winning these games going forward.
I will say, though, in the span of 4 months, 5 months, Roma have found themselves losing in the second half at San Siro, and both mm-hmm. times they have come back.
Yeah, exactly. Against opponents that you might say are better. Yes. And it yes. doesn't matter if it's, yes. I see people confront, but Milan, they have Pobega and they have this and that. Do you call these guys a top team? Well, Milan just won a Scudetto. Milan, in terms of organization, in terms of goals reached over the years, are way ahead of us. Same thing for Inter. So we have to realize what team we're talking about. And once again, this record at San Siro for now, which is positive, is, I think, very impressive, all things considered.
Oh, absolutely. I don't have the time to look back to when Roma were able to do that. Not only get results, okay, in their first two away matches of the season at San Siro, but do so after being down one goal and in the second half. I saw a statistic, and I apologize for which account tweeted it out, but this was the first time in almost 25 years, I believe, that Milan at home, I hope I get this correct. Maybe you saw it too, so you can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're wrong. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, and I know, but it's, I think the record is from 2009. If you're going to say that the
two goals lead from the 85th
exactly,
minute?
That 2009 okay. against Napoli.
We have been around each other far too long. You just finished. Oh, my God.
I can tell by John's voice. No. Exactly. The thing you're talking about the 20-some years, it's our record at San Siro. It's the ability to come back at San Siro.
Well, nonetheless, it's still been a long time. And again, for whatever faults that Roma displayed in the first 80 minutes, I mean, to have the balls to come back twice again this season at San Siro against two of the strongest teams in the league.
Against Juve at the Allianz Stadium.
Yes, yes. I mean, that takes something. To go back to something you said, though, about this whole light switch, the light bulb flicking on, I would say that is, if we're coming away from this with complaints beyond, just from an individual point of view, that is probably the thing all of us are looking at, probably the most frustrated and confused by, because I've talked about this before. When Roma are in that moment where they are melting down, and the most recent one I always go back to is when they lost to Cagliari away, and, you know, Marco Sau, the guy who scores, you know, once every 300 matches, of course, he purges Roma. Andy, we know when we're in that moment. You do not need to have watched this team for very long to just know when they are in the shit and they are having a complete and utter meltdown, and you know what is going to happen, and it's not going to be good. The inverse of that, though, something changed in like that 80th minute, and from then on, they looked completely different. And it was not only did you see more application of, you know, character, balls, you saw a team, I don't even know if it was belief. I can't even pinpoint to what it is, but it is frustrating to me how you can see a team and know when they do so. Know when they do. It is so abundantly clear. They make it way too obvious. When they, you know, when the switch just goes on, part of me, you know, again, coming down, losing at San Siro, loves to see that. But then there's another portion, and I think most people feel this way too. It's like, okay, well, you know, where was that the previous 75, 80 minutes? Why now? Why do you save this for the final minutes?
Exactly.
Why can we not show this same application, same character, same... and what is it? Because I don't know. Because there's glass half full, glass half empty. There's a good and a bad to this. I mean, clearly, again, coming down, losing, San Siro, final moments, you get a result. That's fantastic. But then the other part of me is like, okay, you wasted that first. I mean, that first half was nothing. There was zero. They put forth zero attacking action or episodes in that first half. And then again, you wait half an hour into the second half until you really begin to put your foot onto the gas. I can't understand it. And I think most people probably feel this way.
That's the case. That's the whole damn thing, right? I mean, this is, it's, and especially when you think about where this team was last season, which is something I cannot stress enough, just the way that team was able to overturn a season that was going right into the crapper, and it seemed like everybody was completely aware of the direction we were heading in. And everybody seemed to know the conclusion to the season. I don't want to go back and check the tape, but I do believe that both of us were pretty worried about what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, that team made some important steps forward. They realized certain things, and they took it all, and they used it as fuel. And, I mean, you want to talk about that team performing on a high level in extremely stressful situations, under pressure. I mean, think about the way we won against Vitesse, how we went through. Think about how we faced Leicester. You have to wonder when you now watch this team exactly go missing for 80 some odd minutes and then turn it on in the final minutes. Where is that team that I saw last season in the second half? Didn't we learn any lessons from it? Didn't we take anything away from it? Why are we again dealing with that same old, same old? I guess this is part of now the Roma syndrome, because mind you, this team is weak. I think we can say it this team is not the team that lost, that conceded those two goals to Cagliari back when Robin Olsen was in goal, and we go down, Cagliari go down to nine men, and somehow they find a way to get back and get an equalizer and get 2-2. I mean, they score two goals in like 5 minutes, and that was one of the most painful things about that Roma. And I think we can safely say that this Roma team has nothing to do with it, because we haven't seen any major meltdowns. Even the spanking by Udinese has nothing on that. It wasn't the same. It didn't feel like a meltdown. It just felt like a bad day for Roma. It didn't speak to anything bigger than that. But what is now the syndrome is this Roma team having the potential, having the qualities to make a difference, and yet apparently choosing not to do so in the early stages of a match. Not choosing to really put their 100% effort into a game from the first minute. That's the issue that I'm talking about. That's the issue that I want to see this team address, in a prominent way in the coming months, because it's great. You've made some remarkable comebacks. Really some great moments as a fan, when you watch your team suffer and then all of a sudden, boom, you see that life, that spark, and the team takes off. That's wonderful. But I think we would all love to see a team that just gives its all and is able to turn that switch behind the scenes, behind the curtains, before the fans turn on their TVs. I want to see that team right when they're, I don't know, they're doing a huddle, I don't know, their team talk, whatever. That's when they turn on the switch. Because the fact that then you, I listen to players say, oh, well, when Milan scored the second goal, we looked at each other and we said, no, we have to believe in ourselves. Why? Why then? Why then? Why didn't you do that 60, 70, 80 minutes ago? You should have done it in the dressing room to begin with, if not at halftime, at least not at the 87th minute. That's not when you make those statements. That's not when you declare those things. It has to be there to begin with. I think for this Roma to overcome its syndrome, that has to happen. They have to make that step. I think we are. It seems like as fans of Roma, we're always waiting for a certain version of Roma to make a certain step forward in a certain direction. And whether they do it dictates the success of a season. And so far, over the last few years, they tended to miss their mark. Last season, they didn't. They turned it around, and it resulted in Roma winning its first trophy in years and years. All I can say is I hope that we manage to overcome this syndrome as soon as possible, this seemingly new syndrome, because maybe not the most talented squad ever, maybe not a team that is up there with Napoli, Milan, Inter, and so on, but definitely a team that has something, and it just isn't able to express it from the start as it should.
I completely agree. It's maddening, yet it's also great to see. I don't know. Do you take the dark or do you take the light? There's some good aspects, bad aspects of it. The fact of the matter is, in my opinion, it's great to see them do these comebacks. I would just love to see this level of application sooner into a match. For if nothing else, all of our collective cardiac health, because all of us cannot stand this for the rest of our lifetimes. This is, this is unhealthy. I think all of our respective cardiologists, they would agree to that. And much more of this is going to just break our systems. But we can worry about that at a later date. So you and I, we will be back on Friday. We will come back either Friday or early Saturday, probably Friday, though, following Roma's match on Thursday against Genoa in the Coppa Italia. I won't say anything, because anytime I talk about my expectations and my want for Roma to win the Coppa Italia, it just doesn't go well. So I'm going to remain in silence. So let's leave it there, Andy. Once again, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons at Patreon. Thank you to all of our listeners, supporters. We can't thank you enough for that. We greatly, greatly appreciate all of the support you have shown us over the years. So thank you so much for that. Once again, we will be back on Friday. Until then, ciao.
A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes. But one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. After completing the renovation, follow up with the customer to ensure their satisfaction and address any remaining concerns. Provide maintenance tips and guidance to help them preserve the results of the renovation for years to come. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.